Delighted.
Yeah, we got some single men and women here, huh? I keep telling the older single men, not the college kids, but those that are post-college, the longer you wait, you become more particular and less desirable. So, yeah, whatever. If that applies to your situation, why, just... Oh, listen, that's great. Oh, we got people up in the balcony, too. Outstanding. That way you can get out to the ice cream first while they're closing it off down here. Well, we really are delighted you're here. I guess I'll introduce my sweetheart, and then I'll give you my testimony. We kept going to different churches, leaving our kids in all kinds of different nurseries, but we never did lose any of them. This beautiful woman was born in Iran. Her mother and father were Presbyterian medical missionaries. And we met at Wheaton in 1950. And we're married in 1952. And our 32nd wedding anniversary will be Wednesday this week. So that's great. Sweet. Her name is Helen, beautiful name, but her nickname is Buzzy. So stand up, sweetheart, and say hi. That's good. And you're going to be at the ladies' tea this afternoon, I mean Thursday afternoon, even though I forgot to tell you about it. She's very flexible. Sometimes the only thing I miss is the boat. And we've got three super kids. Ken is on the staff of Denver University. And do you want to stand up and say hello to these people? Did you stand up when the singles all stood up? Okay, good. And Carol is married, lives in Southern California, has three of the prettiest little grandchildren you've ever seen. And Dave is Dave Gray here tonight? Dave's a mechanical engineer at Martin Marietta in Denver. So Ken and Dave live together. And we get to see him occasionally on weekends. I was born on the north side of Chicago, very early age, and wanted to be close to the folks, and raised on the south side. Learned a tremendous amount about the ministry from a good brother, Al Capone. And the thing I learned from Al is a kind word and a gun are much more effective than a kind word all by itself. And Dad was a businessman in Chicago, not a believer. Mom was a Christian. I have two younger sisters. We moved to Downers Grove in 41, moved to Wheaton in the summer of 46 when I was in high school. And I don't know if you ever moved when you were a high school kid, but it's absolutely devastating. You leave all your friends behind, and it's severe trauma emotionally. And so that summer, 1946, between my sophomore and junior year in high school, I did something that I rarely did. Out of loneliness and frustration and confusion, I went to church. And the people sang the kind of songs that Daryl led earlier this evening with warmth and enthusiasm, and I just thought, there's something different about this bunch of folks. So I kept going back. The other thing was a young man my age, who turned out to be a classmate at Wheaton High School, became my friend. And because of his friendship, I returned to the church. And returning to the church, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that summer, I put my confidence and trust in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior and passed from death unto life. And a few years later, as a student at Wheaton, a Christian education major, by the way. I'm glad to know we got a Wheaton Christian Ed major working down there with the kids this week. That's great. Met a group called the Navigators. We had a revival in January of 1950. And I was committed to serve Christ. I had dedicated my life to Christian service in 1948. And the Spirit of God moved in a great way among the student body. And I got back in fellowship with the Lord. Had to make some things right. Some critical, negative attitudes that I had towards some people, particularly one professor. You've probably never criticized a professor when you were in college, but I had one course I hated, and I was outspoken against it. And one day I saw her walking down the sidewalk toward me, and I thought, I've got to do it, and stopped her and said, look, I need to ask your forgiveness. And obviously she forgave me and got back in fellowship with the Lord. And then the NAV rep came and spoke to our College Baptist Youth Fellowship about scripture memory. I was memorizing scripture, but I had never seen that little system with the cards. You may not have seen that thing either. It's called the topical memory system. And I thought, well, now that's very practical and very helpful. You can carry those little verses around with you and redeem the time. So I did that. And it's a good thing, because a month or two later, I met a beautiful young woman who wouldn't have even gone out with me if I wasn't memorizing scripture. So she was already deeply involved in the NAV ministry there. And so we began to go together and had a couple of years of training with the NAVs at Wheaton. And we're married in the summer of 1952. And I suppose my life verse is, it's hard to hit a moving target. And because we spent a year in San Diego getting more training with the NAVs. Then Buzzy lived with the Trotmans, Doss and Lila. And I worked on a couple of Billy Graham crusades, one back in New York, one up in Detroit. And during the New York crusade in August of 53, Doss decided to buy a castle in the Rocky Mountains. And so we were scheduled to go to the Middle East as missionaries. And Doss called and said, you know, cancel your missionary assignment. You are now fundraisers. So one of the things you learn in the Navigators is that, to be flexible. Some people I know, their life verse is indecision is the key to flexibility. And so instead of being missionaries, I became a fundraiser and traveled back and forth around the U.S. In fact, I think it was, no, I guess we went to Minneapolis one time before that, just with the trip we got engaged to visit your sister and brother-in-law at Northwestern Schools. So up to Minneapolis and around Wisconsin, the Midwest, and all Pennsylvania, raising money, we bought a castle in the Rocky Mountains. And then we had a year in Portland, Oregon. Another thing the Navigators used to do, besides being flexible and moving every year, was lending us to other works. It was kind of like putting the babies in different nurseries, hoping maybe they wouldn't come back, sort of thing. I was loaned to Billy Graham in 53, loaned to Youth for Christ in 54, worked with Young Life. Oh, I'd been loaned to Campus Crusade, hadn't I? Yeah, the first year we were married in San Diego. So we've been loaned to every Christian organization that ever existed, which is why the NAVs have such poor relationships with most Christian organizations. And kept coming back. And after a year in Portland, back to the Glen. And 2 years in Dallas. And during that time, the Lord took Dawson Trotman to be with himself. And so things were kind of upset, topsy-turvy. And we had 3.5 years in Southern California. And those were the days of the big NAV homes. In Dallas, we had some men with us who were still on the NAV staff. Jim White lived in our home, Noel Nelson, some others. Then we were in Southern California, Smogville. Wake up every morning, listen to the birds coughing, and just a tremendous number of... Walt Hendrickson, who spoke here last week to the Michigan-Indiana Conference, lived in our home, and a bunch of other guys and gals for training. I spent 3 months in Europe. That time I was loaned to the Pocket Testament League in Berlin. And Buzzy stayed in Pasadena. She had 6 single men, 2 single women, a childless couple, 2 preschoolers, and she was pregnant. And so Buzzy ran the work for 3 months while I was on loan to the Pocket Testament League. And came back all excited about Europe. And had Europe on my heart, spent all those months over there in Germany and France and England and Denmark. And is Bob Wilbraham going to talk this week? I got to tell you about Bob Wilbraham. I went to Copenhagen to visit Bob Wilbraham, and I needed a haircut. So he takes me into this Danish barbershop. Bob in those days had real tight, wavy hair. And so he said to this bird in Danish, you know, give this American the same kind of a haircut I have. And then he walked out to do some shopping. And I didn't know word one of Danish. Didn't then, don't now. But my hair was as flat then as it is now, and I got a permanent. Now I got back to the house with these tight curls in my hair, you know. Whatever else you do, don't let Wilbraham translate for you. He is a hazard. I came back all fired up about going to Europe, and went out to lunch with Sandy, and he said, I want you to pray about going to Latin America. So, early on in the Navigators, you figure out that the ballpark really doesn't matter a whole lot. The management can figure out the ballpark. You just figure out what position you play and do that. And so we packed up, and 5 months later, wife and three preschoolers were in Costa Rica for 3.5 years. And career missionaries learned the language and began to adapt to the culture and came home on a short 90-day furlough, and rather than going back, we were asked to pioneer the Navigator region in the southeastern U.S. with military. So from 65 to 75, we stayed basically in Georgia and Virginia and Carolina and back down in Texas. That's why Ken's a Texas Aggie. And then spent 2 years here at the Glen from 75 to 7, and 4 years back in Virginia, and came back here in 81 to do area ministry. And then about a year ago, Lauren and the regional directors and Jack Mayhall decided that to ask us to be responsible for the Glen. So last summer we accepted the assignment of being responsible for the Glen. And it's a privilege and an honor. We've got a super gang here. And our objective is to make this week very restful for you and very profitable. We want you to reaffirm convictions that you have that are true to the Word of God. The second thing we want you to do is to readjust or realign convictions that you may have which are not true to the Word of God. And this is a beautiful time and place to do that. To just open your heart to the Lord, to the Word, to one another. And certain things in your life are dead center. And you just need to recommit yourself to that. And there may be some things in your life that are not on dead center that need to be refocused. So it's a time of rest and refreshment to reaffirm and to realign. And we're going to have a good week. I trust you will get some time alone with God. Use the benches out here under the trees, or hike the trails, or just in your room. Get some time with dear friends that some of you pass in the night. You live in the Twin Cities or somewhere else, but you don't stop long enough to talk to one another. You meet going to and from the nursery, and have the Sunday morning billiard ball fellowship. You bounce off of one another. And so this will be a good time to deepen some friendships. It's also a good time to make some new friendships. Don't just get in your holy huddle or plunge into your own little ghetto. Make some new friends this week. So time alone with God, time with your spouse. Some of you guys need to work. We'll talk about that tomorrow morning. If you come to that husband-wife session, some of you guys come home from work and turn on your aha machine. She wants to have an intelligent conversation with an adult, and you sit there and go, She could have a more intelligent conversation with an orangutan. If your husband turns on his aha machine this week, I want you married ladies to come to me, and I will have lunch with your husband, and we'll unconnect or disconnect, unplug his aha machine. So time alone with your spouse, and then time with friends. We're thrilled you're here. I have concluded that Deuteronomy 8:1 is the biography of every believer. Moses says, all the commands which I give you this day shall you observe to do. Obey the word of God. And there are three consequences. That you may live, multiply, and possess the land. It takes about 5 to 10 years to learn to live the Christian life. Give yourself time to learn to live. And then after 5 to 10 years of learning to live, you begin to learn to multiply. And we're going to talk this week about multiplying our lives. And it takes another 5 to 10 years to learn to multiply. To really become an effective discipler of other people. And then you continue to live and you continue to multiply. And then you begin to possess the land. Complete personal fulfillment. The discovery, dedication, and development of all of your gifts for the welfare of the body of Christ. You continue to live and you continue to multiply and you begin to learn to possess the land. So I don't know where you are in your pilgrimage, your testimony. Buzzy and I are entering into the possess the land stage of life. And it's great. And this will be a time for you to look back with gratitude and a time to look forward with hope. And we're here to serve you. And we know it's going to be a great week. We're glad you came. Thank you.